Good morning, those who may be listening on the internet, those of us that are here today in the family of Christ Jesus. I'm Mark Parsons, pastor of Great Hope Christian Fellowship Church, and our message today is titled, Run to Live or Run to Die. But most assuredly, everybody is running somewhere. Everybody is running somewhere. And the journey leads to a destiny. Everybody's walk from the day that you're born from your mother, you're on a journey. And there's going to be a destiny at the end of that journey. With Jesus, we have eternal life. Without Him, we have eternal death. We become a child of the God of this world. His name is Satan. There's no in between. There's no fence walking. There's no houses built on fences so that you can go either way and have both, have the best of both worlds. Well, there's no best in Satan's world except for the temporary enticements that he gives and the temptations that he gives people, very, very temporary gratifications in many different ways of the lust of the flesh, the eyes, and the pride of life. Recently, and it happens, I understand, not only in Tampa, Florida, but several fairs, there's something called, and I understand this happened at different places, not just Tampa, like I said, but it's called wilding. And so these folks here are running, but they're running wildly, out of control, in rebellion, expressing a freedom without law, without respect to law, without respect to authority. And recently, the folks that are running this course manifested themselves in the most law-defying way. I understand that wilding, they get together. I read this little article right here. They get together with a small group, and then it becomes larger and larger and larger. It could even add up to be 100 or more people. And they go down through the midway of the fair, and they stampede down the main thoroughfare of the fair. And in this particular case, they were grabbing items and along the way, and snow cones and things, and throwing them and picking up items and throwing them at the sheriffs. And the sheriffs saw crimes being committed, but they couldn't get to them because there's so many. What this reminds me of is something I have seen. This course that they're running reminds me of a pack of dogs that I have seen in a neighborhood. They get together, they're going nowhere. Going nowhere. And one dog somehow seems to say, we're going to go this way. And all of a sudden, they're coming back down the road. And all of a sudden, they're going down the side street or going around the block. And then you get in your car and you take off later. There they are, you know, several blocks away doing the same thing again. Going around sniffing and barking, and other dogs barking at them and just going nowhere. They're not tagged. They're just a pack of dogs nobody wants. And this is so unfortunate that they get together and they'll start with a small group of kids and they'll begin to do what they call wilding or raging. We're going to read about that in just a moment, raging. This is the course they have chosen to run. They have a free will. They can run this way or not run this way, but they've chosen to run this way. What they do is that they start to run, and the small group will start to run, and everyone will join them, and pretty quickly it becomes a stampede. This year, candy apples were snatched from concession stands and used as like baseballs, throwing the candy apples like baseballs, and thrown at deputies. Throw at the law. Can you imagine throwing these things at the law, at the authority, defying them to their face? And one person picked up a metal hand truck and swung it at a deputy like a boomerang, dropping it before it hit its target. Can you imagine throwing a heavy object like a metal hand truck at a deputy sheriff, and they know that deputy can't get to him in time because there's too many people around to arrest him. And I didn't know this. This has been going on fair. It says more than one time. It's been going on in the past. And I wasn't aware of that. And so they're running, but they're running wild. They're running out of control, without order, without governance, and call it freedom. Mm-hmm. But there's a price to pay. Mm-hmm. Maybe not now. They don't see the lightning strike. They don't see. But in a way, one of them, out of the 99 that were ejected, one of them jumped the fence and tried to run across I-4. And was struck and killed. He was one of the ones that was ejected. Is not running across I-4 an interstate, or even being on an interstate, illegal? He was struck because he was doing something illegal. He was kicked out because he was doing something illegal. I don't know the soul at all whatsoever. I'm just talking about the principle of a soul. Rebellion, you will reap what you sow in due time. I don't know what others thought about that, that heard about that. It must have been somebody's friend there when this happened. But that was his destiny. If he didn't know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior in that act and still disobedient, in violation of the law, he was struck down. He has no more opportunities like those that are still living. I'm so glad that God was merciful to me in my stupidity, in my walk in my earlier life. But I decided one day I had enough of this. I'm going to do it your way. I wasn't going to run with the pack anymore. That wasn't my lifestyle. I'm not going to run with the pack. If you run with the pack, you better know where the pack is going. Hey, where y'all going? We don't know. And Shirley asked a Unitarian Universalist one day on a plane trip, and she was a Unitarian Universalist, and Shirley said, well, how do you know where you're going? She says, well, we don't. We find out when we get there.
Lord,
what does it tell?
More disappointing than exciting.
And to her, that was exciting. And so we'll find out when we get there. Yes, she certainly will. What about the rich man that reached his destiny, and the poor man was in the bosom of Lazarus? Lazarus was in the bosom of Abraham, and the rich man died, and he was in these flames, and he was asking, you know, to have his thirst quenched from the gulf that separated him. And the last thing he said was, "If nobody can come to me and send somebody back, then to tell them how real this place is." They said, "No, if they don't, they wouldn't believe someone, even if they came back from the dead, to tell you, because they have the law and the prophets. Let them hear them." Everybody is running somewhere. I am so glad I can say today, and the vast majority of people that I know in here today, we're not running in vain, but we're running with purpose. But in Jude, he has something to say about this. This wildness that takes place, and encouraging words for us here today, and as Christians, to take a look at it. Look at Jude. Jude has just one chapter. That's why we always say Jude, whatever verse, because there's only one chapter in Jude. And if you would look at Jude with me, James, Peter, John, Jude, right before Revelation. And let's start with verse 1. I just want to make a couple points here in Jude about the course that these people have decided to run. You'll see the wildness here. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are the called, beloved in God the Father and kept in Jesus Christ. He's writing to those who are believers. Those who are called. But watch what he says right here, church. It's really, really important what he says here, because I don't care who you are, how long you've been in church, or how many Sunday school pins you have. I know people who have not missed. And I believe one of them was my uncle, my mom's brother. He did not miss. Sick as a dog at times, yes, whatever. But he had a 40-year pin where he never missed church. Well, all those things are commendable, but the thing that we want to make sure that we really don't miss is hearing the voice of God. You don't want to miss that. So don't beat yourself up if you haven't been every single time that we have met here. Jude chapter 1, right before Revelation. He's writing to the church, and he says, "May mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you." I like that multiplication encouragement there. "Mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you, beloved. While I was making every effort to come to you about the common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you, appealing to you that you," what? "Contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints." Where does faith come from? If it's been delivered, where did it come from? You didn't deliver it to yourself.
Amen.
Where does faith come from? We're saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. So God not only gives us, sheds His grace upon us, He also gives us faith to believe in Him. But you got to cry out to Him for that faith. He'll give it to you. If any man lacks, wisdom, God, let him ask of God. God will give it to you, you know, without measure. And with all the wisdom, get understanding. But look at this. How many of you have found yourselves that you have been contending earnestly for the faith? To struggle for, to fight for, to run after, so to speak. Now, you can't run after God if your mouth is running off. You can't run after God if your thoughts are running in the opposite direction of the direction that God wants you to go in. So there's a course here. There's a decision to make. We're either going to run after God in a moment of heat and an attitude maybe that wants to rise up. Can you contend earnestly for the faith when you're doing your own thing? It's kind of hard to do, isn't it? You can't serve two masters. And I know and I understand we love the Lord. And sometimes we do have attitudes. I know that. Sometimes there's friction. Anyone ever experienced friction as a Christian? A little conflict as a Christian? A little personality conflict? A little, why'd you say that to me? Because, you know, all these kind of things. But if we contend earnestly for the faith of the gospel of Jesus Christ, what's going to happen? What has to happen in your life?
Change.
What can we assume? Yes. There has to be a change taking place. Sam Cooke, one of his songs back in the 60s, "Change is Going to Come." Now, he was talking about, you know, a lot of civil rights stuff, and that was good. It was an awesome song. Change is going to come. Praise God, change is going to come. Change is going to come when we run to Him. So how many of you feel a stirring in your heart today? I do. Among us, I feel a stirring to contend for the faith of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't want to assume that I don't have anything else to learn. I know it all. Someone was saying or praying recently. I heard either in the back or here, someone was praying about, you know, the past. You know, we get our face in you, Lord. We got to really hear from you. I want to be that man that you called me to be today. You know, about the past and historically this and that. I want to be historically correct. I want to be spiritually in tune with the gospel of Jesus Christ, what God is saying for us today. I really want to hear what He's saying. Mm-hmm. It's critical. Someone says, and I've seen these bumper stickers on cars, "Don't follow me. I'm lost." You ever seen them? "Don't follow me. I'm lost." Well, don't worry. I'm not. I ain't going to trust you. I'll trust God's GPS, God's place, Spirit. This is so powerful. "Contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain persons," watch this, "have crept in unnoticed, Because those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation, ungodly persons who turned the grace of God into licentiousness, and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. Certain persons who promote licentiousness is not going to go good with the Lord. Licentiousness can be predominantly sexual, you know, freedoms and carousings and stuff, but also licentiousness is also a rebellious thing that can let out the dogs on almost anything. What do you name it? Licentiousness, we get our word license from. In other words, I'm free now with licentiousness, or King James says lasciviousness, to do what I want to do. This reminds me of what's going on at the fair with these children. They say, well, now there's going to be policy changes made. Nobody's going to be able to go there underage without a parent. Well, they better make changes or it's just going to snowball and get worse. Now, listen to this, because creeping in unnoticed, promoting licentiousness. Right before that, we read, contend earnestly for the faith. In other words, those who are contending for the faith are going to have their eyes open to see the wolf in sheep's clothing. They're going to see it for what it is. Now, this is happening in our day. The present administration in Washington is appointing appellate courts at the federal level that are liberal, not Bible-leaning nor conservative. And it's being done on purpose with a plan to get their agenda passed. That is promoting licentiousness. And this, I just want to read this briefly. I get a lot out of these sayings that relate to scriptures. It says Obama's terms have altered composition of federal courts. Altered the composition because they're appointed by the president, federal judges. The overturning of Virginia's gay marriage ban placed the legal fight over same-sex unions increasingly in the hands of federal appeals courts, appellate courts, shaped by President Barack Obama's two election victories. And let me give you an example. We're going to drop this. We're going to make a point of this because this is promoting licentiousness. This approval of these appellate judges, what they're approving, is in direct conflict with the teaching of the Word of God. Amen. And that's a problem. So you got to decide what side of the line you're going to stand on. There's no middle ground. It says, it's no accident that Virginia has become a key testing ground for federal judges' willingness to embrace same-sex marriage after last year's strongly worded pro-gay rights ruling by the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court, who appoints the Supreme Court justices? The President of the United States does. And they go through the approval process. And so, everything that Christians may have contentions with or disagreements with, it goes to the court, and it goes to a higher court, and it ends up at the highest level, Supreme Court. But these appellate judges are taking over with a liberal view to promote licentiousness or lasciviousness. And look at this. Judges appointed by Democratic presidents have a 10-5 edge over Republicans in the Richmond-based 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, formerly among the nation's most conservative appellate courts. And on and on and on, it goes on to give other examples of where the appellate courts are changing to be liberal and not conservative or leaning toward Bible teaching. That's a problem. So here we are. He's writing to the church. We got the creeping in of things that we don't agree with. We, meaning me and Jesus, and God in heaven above, and the Holy Spirit, and the teachings of the Bible. God does not agree with what we see happening in our land, for the most part. So here we are, church, today, and the question is asked, are you contending earnestly for the faith, for a relationship with Jesus Christ more than you ever had before? I don't care how long you've been walking with the Lord or how faithful you've been. I'm talking about today, are you contending to walk with Jesus and a closer walk with Him? Amen. Very, very important. Very important. And look at this. Certain persons in verse 4 have crept in unnoticed, and I'll bet you most of the people in the United States have not noticed this happening. There's few. But they haven't noticed how this is happening. They're creeping in. Okay? Ungodly persons who turn the grace of God into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. If you ask them, are they denying Jesus Christ? They'd say, you're crazy. I'm not denying Jesus Christ. But they're denying Him in their actions in what their ruling is siding with. And now verse 5, now I desire to remind you, though you all know all things once for all, that the Lord, after saving the people out of the land of Egypt, subsequently destroyed those who did not believe. They started running the wrong way with the wrong pack. And angels who did not keep their own domain, but abandoned their proper abode, He has kept in eternal bonds under darkness for the judgment of the great day. How about that? God gave angels a free will. That's amazing, isn't it? Can you imagine being with God in heaven?
Amen. Oh my God.
And saying, I got a better plan. Led by Satan. He was the lead pack dog that said he had a better plan. And they were foolish enough to follow him. And so was Eve, foolish enough to believe in when he came to the garden. So, but God is so merciful, He came to redeem us what Adam lost. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah in verse 7 and cities around them, since they in the same way as these indulged in gross immorality and went after strange flesh, are exhibited as an example in undergoing the punishment of eternal fire. Many, many times the Bible makes reference to Sodom and Gomorrah when it comes to immorality. Many, many times. It mentions and makes reference to Sodom and Gomorrah in reference to immorality. In verse 8, yet in the same manner, these men also by dreaming defile the flesh and reject what? What's your Bible say? Authority. Authority and revile angelic majesties. But Michael, the archangel, when he disputed with the devil and argued about the body of Moses, did not dare pronounce against him a railing judgment, but said, the Lord rebuke you. But these men revile the things which they do not understand, and the things which they know by instinct, like unreasoning animals, by these they are destroyed. They know by instinct. And the King James Bible says that they know naturally. I believe the King James says. They know it naturally. They know it by instinct, what is right and wrong. Romans 1 elaborates on that. It's downloaded to know good and evil, right and wrong. These kids at the fair know that throwing objects at law enforcement, grabbing things that do not belong to them, is stealing, rebellious, and dangerous. They know that. They have made a choice, though, to do that. To run wild.
Yeah, but then, Pastor Mark, I'm sorry to say that, but when children do that at the same time, and they put them at the fair and all that, right, and they do all these things, now you have another law that will come. Oh well, I mean, you know, you mistreated my child. You couldn't do this to my child, you know, and do those things, and then so what are we gonna do? Are you gonna let the parents take responsibility, the law enforcement take responsibility, or punishing the child in a way, not, you know, taking away the things that he likes or whatever, so he cannot do the same thing again?
The iniquity of those who do wrong always causes those who are righteous to suffer. And so now on, what they're going to do, they're going to make changes. The parents are going to have to accompany the children. They cannot be there on their own. No. There will be changes, and there'll be changes, 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 as all laws change to try to keep sanity to a public event.
Mark, had a conversation with a lady last week. We're talking about the fair, and she made the remark. She said, "Well, I just couldn't wait till my kids were old enough that I could just drop them off at the fair."
Absolutely, absolutely.
When she said that, I didn't say anything else.
Yeah. That's a day of freedom for them, and let them run. But do you know where your children are? Type of thing. But these men revile the things which they do not understand, and the things which they know by instinct or by nature, like unreasoning animals. By these they are destroyed. Woe to them, verse 11, for they have gone the way of Cain. For pay they have rushed headlong into the air of Balaam and perished in the rebellion of Korah. These men are those who are hidden reefs in your love feast when they feast with you without fear, caring for themselves, clouds without water, carrying along by winds, autumn trees without fruit, doubly dead, uprooted. Autumn trees without fruit is a very serious thing, because autumn trees are supposed to be the harvest time, and these are autumn trees without fruit. Clouds without water. I got a good idea. I have a great idea. Let's do this. And there are clouds with all the great ideas, but there's no substance in them.
Amen.
You know, how do you know us? How many of you know that we can have speakers in Washington to be a lot of rhetoric, but no substance? Mm-hmm. Somebody writing a speech, but no substance.
Hot air.
It's just extremely hot air. Autumn trees without fruit. Autumn trees are supposed to be producing fruit. It's harvest time. Hidden reefs. How many ships have come down with hidden reefs right underneath the ship, right underneath, not seeing them, not the captain not being wise to those hidden reefs. There they are to wreck the ship. How about the Titanic? It wasn't a hidden reef, but it was in a way. The iceberg stuck up. He didn't see it too late, but it was like a reef. It ripped the bow on the Titanic that they said not even God could sink it. When I heard that, I said, uh-oh, no, please don't say that. If I was back then, I got on Titanic, I heard somebody say this, I said, let me off. If I was a fearful, God-fearing man, let me off. And verse 13, look, watch this. Wild waves of the sea, casting up their own shame like foam, wandering stars for whom the black darkness has been reserved forever. Wild waves of the sea. Somebody picture wild waves of the sea for me. What do you see?
No, I don't know. Death and destruction.
If one crashes against the other, there's no continuity. There's no flow. We're not going anywhere like a river. It's just wild waves of the sea. Every wind of whatever wants to come along, one crashes against the other. After it crashes, it disperses and goes and crashes against something else. You know, white caps. Y'all seen white caps, right? Wild waves of the sea, wild, free to roam. And, you know, I often tell people, even in the military, I ask my older brothers, what do they do if you don't want to do this or that? I say, well, in the military, you don't have to do what they say, but you have to be willing to pay the consequences. You have to be willing to pay the consequences. And so there will be consequences to rebellion. Always has been, always will be. And God is the final judge. And verse 14, and about these also Enoch, in a seventh generation from Adam, prophesied, saying, behold, the Lord came with many thousands of his holy ones. Now watch how this concludes right here. To execute judgment upon all and to convict all the ungodly of all their ungodly deeds, which they have done in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. And verse 16, these are grumblers, finding fault, following after their own lust. They speak arrogantly, flattering people for the sake of gaining an advantage. False teachers, you ought to remember verse 17, the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of Lord Jesus, that they were saying to you in the last times, there will be, what's your Bible say?
Scoffers.
Mine says mockers. In the last times, there will be mockers following after their own what? Ungodly lust. These are the ones who cause divisions, worldly minded, devoid of the Spirit. Devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves
in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life, and have mercy on some who are doubting, save others. Look how close the salvation is, snatching them out of the fire, and on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh, snatching some even out of the fire, that close to eternal separation from God. In Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2, I want to read that out of the Amplified Bible. You talk about, that's the course they're on. Jude, that's the course they're on. Wild ways of the sea, creeping in unnoticed, promoting licentiousness. Do you think that federal appellate courts, judges that approve of certain things that are not Bible-based, promote licentiousness? Of course. That's the course they're on. That's where they believe, that's where they're coming. Wouldn't it be awesome if all judges of any level would be God-fearing judges? That's the course they're on. I wouldn't want to be running with them. But I really do. And I am encouraged to run such as Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. What encouragement here. Here's another course to run. And I'm going to read it in the Amplified. It's so powerful. Anybody else have an Amplified Bible in here today? Amplified? Therefore, then, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who have borne testimony of the truth, let us strip off and throw aside every encumbrance, unnecessary weight, and sin which so readily, deftly and cleverly clings and entangles us, and let us run with patience the endurance and steady and active persistence the appointed course of the race that is set before us. And if someone wants to read that in another version, I appreciate that right now. It's Hebrews 12, chapter 1. Read it slowly and loudly.
NIV. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such great clouds of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with the perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Now, listen to this. Church, let's stay in class. Let's stay humble. He's speaking to the church. In Hebrews 12:1, it says, lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. How many of you love the Lord with all your heart, yet at times you wonder where that anger comes from that seemingly approached so easily into your heart? Let us lay aside every encumbrance and sin that so easily entangles us. Lay it aside, forsake it, and run the race that is set before us. How many of you can relate to that? How easily sometimes that can happen.
I can.
it's crazy, isn't it?
It is.
But what it says to me is stay humble. Don't think that you're beyond the ease of being entangled over whatever there is in your life or what's facing. Don't get too far ahead of the Lord, because this can happen to anybody. And the Lord says, let he who is greatest among you be a servant of all. You better stay humble. Take the back seat and then wait to be invited to take the front seat. The seats of honor, so to speak. Stay humble. And Reuben, heads up. I want to share. I didn't. Heads up, he lifted his head up.
I was at basketball practice one time. We had a very, very disciplinary type of coach, Frank Lentz at Chamberlain High School basketball. And one of the best guards in the entire state of Florida was on our team. And he said something under his breath. And coach said, "What'd you say?" And he didn't really say what it was, but coach heard what he said. But he said, "What'd you say?" He said, "You start running around this court and don't you stop until I tell you. If you don't like it, get out of here and don't ever come back." Well, everybody heard him say that. Everybody watched him run them laps. We went back, took showers, we came out, he was still running. And in a gym, in an empty gym, nobody in there, you hear the floor, the wood floor. Pow, 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 pow. Round and around and around and around. You talk about being humbled down. And he was good. He's probably the best player on the team. And he knew it. But coach knew it too. But he was a disciplinarian. And he got humbled down real good. But he could have been so easily entangled in his great physical ability to play basketball really well, that where he would have said, "Forget this. I ain't doing what you say. You think you're going to make me run around here till you tell me to stop? I'm out of here." And it would have ended his high school career and maybe even a college career. So you can't say to the Lord, "I'm out of here. I don't like what you're saying." But sometimes you may be in the middle of an entanglement of an attitude that God is not becoming a Christian, and the Lord check you on that by the Holy Spirit, which He will. Mm-hmm. He'll check you. And you can resist it, or you can say, "Lord, yeah, you're right. I got an attitude right now. And I can't contend earnestly for the faith at the same time, you know, and do my thing. I got to submit to you." And there's where that humility has to. You got to humble it down to submit to the Lord, to where you don't count anymore. Lay aside every encumbrance and weight that so easily besets you. And run what? Run? It says, with endurance, the race that is set before us. We're going to be proven.
Amen.
Special forces, Drew, are they not proven? Who would want to go out on a mission with a Cub Scout, yeah, or somebody that he might be an Eagle Scout and done some nice little things at home, but man, he's no special forces dude. The PJs in the Air Force, or you know, the Green Beret, the Special Forces, the SEAL team guys, and probably other units that we don't even know about. They are stripped, right? They are stripped and goosebumps about 2 inches high, and they're freezing. And whoever says, "I want to go home," okay, you go home. You're out of here. That's what we want to find out. Who wants to go home?
Mm-hmm. Who's ringing the bell?
And lifting things and made to be a unit, a flow to get this log or this object from here to there. We're going to have to do it together. No one single man, no two men can do it. We got to do it together, y'all. So they're proven. I believe when you're called, if you're a special SF guy, or if you're a SEAL or you're a PJ, then you got some type of credentials for that. You don't just walk around and say, you know, "Hey, you know, I'm Special Forces." Yeah, right. And you can bark all you want, you can lie all you want about it, but when the real test comes, the SEALness of you is going to come out or is not going to come out. The SF guy is going to come out or is not. I mean, underwater to where they basically are drowning, and yet they revive them, these dark tunnels they got to go through. Talk about claustrophobia. Dark tunnels, total darkness of these culverts. And you got to go through obstacles in there. Proven. We have probably the most well-trained super of all supers in the world in our special forces, and our people go through this kind of training. Endurance, y'all. The Lord is looking for endurance, not wimps. Amen. And when you're home crying about whatever, something about what somebody said, shame on you. You ought to be praying for that person.
Amen.
Get over it.
They're not crying. They're happy. They're fine. But you have a problem back home over what somebody said. You don't make cherry pie like my grandmother made them. Wow. Shirley lit up the other day, and I told her, I said, honey, and I meant it with all my heart. I said, this is blue ribbon chili. Man, that really lit her up. She says, honey, thank you so much. I meant it. If it wasn't, I wouldn't have said that. We all need to be encouraged. But if I would have said, where did you get the beans to go in this stuff? That would have hurt her so bad. And I could have been just kind of, you know, whatever, just go on my way about it. And she would have been just blown away. When a wife spends that time cooking and baking and all that, and her man comes home, he's got the deer over his back with a bear, and he comes home and he says, you know, and he says to his wife, you know, whoa, what's up with that? What's all these clothes doing? He ain't folded yet or anything like that. Well, he better shut up, because he doesn't know what she's been doing. And then she doesn't know what he's been up to. So we need to come home and say, hey, honey, let me help you with these, you know. Well, I mean, I don't humble it down. Maybe twice a year a guy should fold some clothes. Yeah, I don't know, you know, just that goes a long way in honoring a woman. He comes home with dirty old boots from something training mission he's been on, and the wife says, yeah, don't you get those things in here? Walk in my kitchen with those things. Oh, honey, let me clean your boots. I mean, that would melt his heart. It works both ways. It works both ways. Let me spit shine them things for you. Yeah, whoa, what's gotten into you? The Holy Ghost.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
He said, whoa, you must have the Holy Ghost. Yeah, right. You know, doing something. But the change is going to come, you know. Let us run with endurance. I'm going to finish up here with this the second verse of Hebrews 12. Somebody's going to read it. I said, I want to read it so bad. I want somebody to read this. Somebody read it out. It's so awesome. Follow this now. Hebrews 12, verse 2 now. Following verse 1.
Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, is scorning and shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
All right. Anybody else? NIV, Ted? You got the NIV? Lisa, what do you have, honey?
I have King James.
You have King James? All right. Go ahead and read it real loud.
Okay. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Can you imagine God incarnate allowing the shamefulness of being crucified by him who he made, allowing that to happen? And he could have just called down legions of angels to do away with it all.
He could have said no.
This is not worth it, but we are worth it.
Amen. Thank you.
We're worth it. Shame on you. Don't beat yourself up. You're worth it. You're worth God getting the chips off and the rough parts and stay on that potter wheel. You're worth it. Mark, you're worth it. Ted, you're worth it. I died for you. I gave my life for you. And look at this. In the verse 2, it says, fixing your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. Mm-hmm. He allow him to come into the faith that he gave you to perfect it. Faith to look beyond what you see. Faith to look beyond what you see. Lord, all I see is, you know, all I see is these, everybody's giving me lemons. Well, you've heard that before. Well, then make some lemonade if that's what you're given, you know. But, I mean, that's all. The person who looked out his jail window, you know, one person looks out and sees the wall. The other looks up in the sky and he sees the sky. He sees freedom right where he is. One guy just sees a wall. One guy sees freedom. It's our perspective. And allow the Lord to be the perfecter of our faith. Today, I guarantee you, perhaps, some of us, if not most of us, you're going to be challenged to find out where your faith is. How many of you have begun a journey, have been a commitment, have done, I'm going to dedicate this to you, I'm going to do this, Lord, I'm going to do this. And all of a sudden, in your journey, partway into it, you run into a volcano, an avalanche. You know, something happens. You get snake bit. You get spider bit. You get whatever. Something happens. A dog comes out and you're riding your bike and bites your leg. He grabs hold of your pant leg. Well, you ought to be grateful he's not tearing your leg up. And you just mind your own business, riding along. Nice little ride on a bike. It's a happy day. Oh, Jesus, thank you. And you're singing and you're happy and a dog comes out and nails you. Why did that happen? What happened? Because you're in a dog's neighborhood and he's a bad dog and he's come out and you're just fresh meat to him. But be looking to the Lord, no matter what may happen to you. May God perfect your faith on your journey and the things that happen to you. Fix your eyes on Jesus, though, is the key. The perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of God, the throne of God. But look at verse 3. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you may not grow weary and lose heart. Wow. In your handout today, how many of you noticed some of your handouts, at least this format, is a little bit longer? I get to say a little bit more than the short version. I like these. It's my preference. A little bit more said, a little bit more for you to take home. Let's read this together, okay? We're going to stop. We're going to be done. Run to live or run to die. Destiny awaits every soul that has been or ever will be born to this world. Thank God that He has given to all a free will to choose our fate. Every moment and every ounce of energy in a person's life can either be spent running to God, faithfully bound to Him through Christ Jesus, bringing to pass eternal salvation, or running away from Him, resulting in eternal death. How many of you know many people spend much more energy running away from God than those that do run to Him? It takes a lot of energy to run away from God. Always looking over your back. Always wondering whether you try to defend one lie by backing up another lie with a lie you told yesterday. Sadly, multitudes are myopic and nearsighted and choose to live in the moment to experience temporal pleasures and enticements and yield to the temptations that Satan, the god of this world, has to offer them. These souls have been deceived to believe a lie and are undiscerning as Satan disguises and transforms himself as an angel of light. That's pretty powerful. That's the word of God, angel of light. Jesus explained that there are two ways of life. Either enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter by it. But the gate is small and the way is narrow, it leads to life, and few there be who finds it. We often heard the expression, run for your life. And that's exactly what the writer of Hebrews is saying. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, that's what we just read, let us lay aside every encumbrance and sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance, that is patience, patient endurance, the race that is set before, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand throne of God. One thing remains for sure, to prevaricate is not an option. To prevaricate means to stray from or evade the truth. The Latin root means what? To straddle. Doesn't that sound familiar in our today's society? Simply put, run to live or run to die. It's your choice. And also, get busy living or get busy dying. That's our choice. Make it your choice today as a child of God, as a Christian. Make it your choice to allow the Lord to perfect things that are imperfect. And we are saved by the blood of Jesus. You cannot perfect yourself to salvation. We're saved by the grace, saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. And as we have come to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, you don't work for your salvation, but there's things that God does as a Christian to perfect and tweak out in our life. You know that as well as I do. You should be growing. I should be growing as a servant of the living God. I should be growing to serve you and not look at my own interest, but the interest of others. It's a journey, isn't it?
I'm no longer a wild wave of the sea. I'm no longer a cloud without vapor, without substance. I'm no longer. Used to be. For those of you who may be listening today, I pray that you'll take it to heart. There's no middle ground. There's no time to prevaricate or to be ambiguous. Yes, yes, no, no, Jesus, Satan, there's no in between. Truth, lies, light and dark, there's no in between. No option to straddle the fence. If you're there, if you're a fence walker, today I encourage you to get off the fence and to consider Jesus Christ if you want eternal life. Do that. Your life depends upon it. God bless you.